Hello?
Hello, is this Larry?
Yeah, this is me.
Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yes, you are.
Okay,
am I?
Yeah, you're coming in super clear. Today's date is August 4th, 2010. It's almost 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm talking to a gentleman by the name of Larry Elterman. He lives in the Philippines, and he wrote a book. Now, what is the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is A Man's Guide to Life and Love in the Philippines.
That's right. It's an e-book and a paperback book. It's A Man's Guide to Life and Love in the Philippines, which I do have an e-copy of, which I recommend. But I guess I'm going to start out. We talked for about 15 minutes, so I will say this is not totally our first call, but we decided to do the interview because rather than repeat everything twice, let's do it all at one time so I can ask off-the-cuff questions. First of all, what inspired you to write this book? When did you do it, and how has it been so far?
Well, all my life I said to myself, I should write a book or I want to be an author, but everybody does that, and then you never do it. And then I invested a fair amount of money in some stocks, and I lost quite a bit in the financial crisis. And then I realized I didn't have enough money probably to live the rest of my life without doing something. So then I said, geez, there's really no good books about the Philippines. All the books that I see, they usually have an agenda of some kind or another, and I haven't seen a book which really just is sort of the kind of book that you'd want to read if you wanted honest information about what it's like to live in the Philippines. And I said to myself, I should write this both for other people and for a chance to make a little bit of cash, and I should do it. So I did.
And you wrote this book because were you tired of the corporate world? Did you see something in your life that I am a teacher for that's what I do for a living, and I have a good career, just like you, I'm sure, had a good career. Did you feel unfulfilled that although you were making decent money or paying your bills, that there wasn't something quite right as far as socially?
Well, I guess I got confused by your question. You said, did I write that book because of
that?
Did I come to the Philippines because of that?
Okay, did you, in other words, your inspiration for going to the Philippines was that you felt that maybe something was socially missing in your life, maybe romantically?
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people, you're already disillusioned at your age, and I think a lot of people, the older they get, the more disillusioned they get with a place like the United States or a lot of these Western countries. And there's lots of problems with the United States, and we can go into a lot of them, but one of the big, big problems, and I think you felt it even at your age, is that the older you get, the more difficult it is to get a woman.
Yes, absolutely. My Uncle Mike, I'm 39, I'll be 40 this year, and my Uncle Mike, or one of my uncles, I'm not sure which one it was, he said it best. He said that when you hit 40 years old, you realize the girls aren't whistling at you anymore.
Yeah, basically you're not wanted anymore. Unless you're super rich, there's no girls interested in you. At least the kind of girls that you're interested in, they're not interested in you.
Well, you know what? Sadly to say, with feminism being as strong as it is, even average to decent-looking women in their 40s want nothing to do with you. I mean, women have been elevated to such a status in this country of worship that the dating scene is a nightmare. But I could get into that in more detail another time. But Winston Wu has talked about that. Of course, you know who Winston Wu is. You've talked to him briefly or emailed him. But continue. So you made this – you decided to do this, what, 8 years ago?
10 years ago. I started investigating it 10 years ago, and I did some preliminary trips, and then I moved for good 9 years ago. I've been living here 9 years.
Okay.
And I think on the trip that the experience that I have is a lot of older expats like me. They've had similar experiences, where I had a good job and I was married. Okay, and then at sort of the same time, a lot of things happened at my job that disillusioned me, and my marriage fell apart, and all of a sudden, you know, you're close to 40 years old, you realize that you're not enjoying work that much, you've gotten divorced, then you're back on the dating scene like you're talking about, and all of a sudden you're 40 years old, and you realize you just can't get a woman, you know, like you said, or maybe you can get some women, but, for me, here's one of the kind of ironies, you know. And it's something that women don't like to talk about, or they think that you're horrible if you talk about it. But the truth is, no matter how old you get as a man, you're still attracted to the same age woman, okay? Just because you're 60 doesn't mean you're attracted to a 60-year-old woman. And Be that what it may, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's morally right or morally wrong, or whether you're horrible for feeling that way, it's really just genetics. I mean, sex is about procreation. It's about babies. That's why nature made sex fun, so you do it and have babies. Sex, nature didn't make you to have sex with 60-year-old women because 60-year-old women can't have babies. Men are attracted to younger women. That's just the way it is, for better or for worse. And you talk about that to a woman in the United States, she'll jump down your throat, especially an older one.
She'll retort by the same, oh, you just want to get laid. And that's another thing. I mean, American women are probably emotionally the ugliest women out there right now. I'm not saying that there aren't good American women. They're all, of course, married. They're good ones. But it's really it is a different scene out there. But did you see the huge contrast to the Philippines once you got there socially?
Huge contrast. Huge. And that's what I was saying, is when I was 40 and on the dating scene, it was so discouraging. Even when I go, if I could get a date with a 35-year-old, I considered myself extremely lucky. And then they were like so – it's like they're so picky. It's just like you're talking about. They're always looking for something, some reason that you're not right, or they're always judging you on, you know, this and that. And it's just – it's like it's extremely discouraging to be on the dating scene once you hit about 40, unless you're a very, very rich man, you know.
Well, I with all the interviews that I've done about 20-something interviews with my Roller Steve show, and I'm finding out that even young guys in this new dating scene are, if you're not good-looking, you have it rough now, and it's changed. Feminism has gotten worse. They call it this the second or third wave of feminism, where it's all man-bashing, but it's not just equality. And so So you go to the Philippines and you see this huge contrast. Now, for example, did you notice that you could just walk up to a woman on the street and talk to her and not feel like a creep, or make her make you feel like a creep?
Well, absolutely. And here's the thing: let's say you're a 60-year-old man or a 50-year-old man. Let's just say 50, and you in the United States went up to a 20-year-old woman and started trying to pick her up or trying to be friendly with her. She'd immediately go into like defensive mode and think you were some kind of pervert or something.
Well, yeah.
And just the idea of that you're an older man interested in this younger woman is just so looked down upon in the United States. It's like you're so pathetic. You're such a, just a pathetic loser pervert. You know, that's basically the attitude. And the great, incredibly refreshing thing about the Philippines is that the women really don't have an age discrimination thing. You can be any age, and women are interested in you. And it's just an incredible thing to realize once you come to the Philippines, you know, that
right.
that you can be a 50-year-old guy, and there's a 18-year-old girl interested in you. It's just, and there's a lot of guys that come here, and they feel guilty. Like, they'll be like a 45-year-old guy, and they'll come and they'll say, God, I bet this great woman, but she's 22. I feel horrible. I feel awful.
That's called the removing of the testicles of the American male, because it's almost a guilt complex. It's we have been beaten so badly. The idea of telling a woman to just go screw off is like so outside the norm in here, because we're afraid of any kind of reprisals, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I laugh and I say, you're 45 and going out with a 22-year-old. That's nothing. I can show you my friends who are 65 going out with an 18-year-old. And,
wow.
You know, and so basically, no matter what age you are, you can come to the Philippines and you can find an attractive woman to be with. Now, does that mean that that woman is perfect in every way? I'm not going to say that at all.
Right.
But you can find a woman to be with. That is for sure.
Right. Now, you talk in your ebook, and I've read your ebook, and I'm gonna give that website to everybody, because I really think people should either go to Amazon.com and buy it. Look under the author's name, Larry Elterman, Elterman. Look up your name, because I did read the reviews for your book, and you had a 4.5 out of 5 stars. It was nothing but positive, meaning that you were being frank and honest. You talked about the negative aspect of your book. There's so much in the book we could talk. We could probably do that in a couple interviews, but it's a great book. I want to say that. So it got.
Thank you so much.
Has the book been very successful, or is it kind of a fringe book? Because my impression is that, like, I wrote an ebook on marathon training, and it was kind of a fringe book. It didn't sell as many copies.
Well, I would say it's in between. I'm not getting rich off it, but it's selling about.
Yeah, I didn't get rich off my ebook or my book either. But it's nice to be able to say that you went out, and it takes time to put a book together. And
it's selling about 60 copies a month. Is the answer to your question?
Okay, 60 copies a month. Not bad. Not more than I'm selling, that's for sure. But 60 copies a month. So you know. But so you've. Are you able to? Is it finding work in the Philippines? Are you able to find work there, or is that kind of tough?
No. Okay. The thing is, it's not really an option. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say it's 100% not an option. Your only option for working here is to come here. There are maybe a few special jobs that a foreigner could have, but generally speaking, you don't want to come to the Philippines to work. That I don't really recommend that, because you're going to make so much less money than you would somewhere else.
Right. So do you live off enough retirement money that you don't have to worry about it?
Well, I have to worry about it, because someday I'm going to run out of money. But I'm living off my retirement, my small pension, and the savings that I had. Yes.
Okay. So if you do come here, either better have one option. Of course, you can teach English, which if you're a native English speaker, it does.
Yes, that is an option. Yeah, that's an option. You can teach at an international school. That's one option.
Right.
Or maybe there's some very specialized jobs where they need your, you know, if you have some specialty, like, I don't know, like you, like plugging up oil holes, and there's an oil leak in the Philippines. You know,
right, exactly.
Like that,
I don't understand.
Maybe, you know, if you had some very specialized training that they really needed you, maybe you can get a job. But if you're just like a regular, let's say, for example, you are a plumber. Well, it would be ridiculous for you to come to the Philippines, because you're going to make a dollar an hour as a plumber here. Not even that.
Really?
Yeah.
How about an air conditioning mechanic or something more technical?
Yeah, no, same. You're going to – I mean, a typical salary in the Philippines for – okay, you have your upper level, you know, really skilled job. You have your total labor jobs, and then you have your, like, in the middle job, which might be like an air conditioner guy or electrician or
right.
a carpenter or something like that. They're going to make about 300 pesos a day, about $7 a day.
Okay, right.
And so if, you know, you might be a plumber, let's say, or a carpenter or whatever, and you're making like, you know, in the United States, you're making 30 bucks or 40 bucks an hour as a plumber. Now you come to the Philippines, you're going to be a plumber for $5 a day. It just isn't going
right.
to cut it.
But they're not as efficient there either, because you can't compare apples to oranges, because if you go there, so your best bet, if you don't want, if okay, you're in a semi-retirement state. Your recommendation is that if you go to the Philippines, you don't recommend being working. Then the only other thing I can think of is having an internet-based business where you're constantly drawing some sort of income, maybe through PayPal, where you can.
Yes, that's what a lot of people do. They try to have an internet-based income, an international income. In fact, I could probably give you the name of a guy if you're interested in that, that specializes in that. His name is Dan Lilly, D-A-N.
I'm not into right. get-rich-quick schemes, because I have other things I can market, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's.
He just specializes in international, in not having a base, making money without having a base.
See what you're saying. Yeah, not having a base. I think that that's a cool option, because I just don't see the brick and mortar structure of, and then, you know, you're working for a living. I mean, there's so much to be said about this life we're living here in the United States that propels people. Like Winston Wu said it best. He says extreme circumstances require extreme measures, or whatever. You know, you just have to get tired of this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the women issue, let's dive right into this women issue, because most of the people that are listening to this interview are interested in either getting laid, going to the Philippines. The women are just so much better. What can a guy expect if he takes a 2 to 3 week vacation there?
Okay, that's a good question. And let me just frame that by saying, okay, you're a guy interested in, let's say, the Philippines. What are your options? What kind of guy might you be? Well, there's various options. You might be saying, okay, I can't get a woman in the United States. I'm going to come to the Philippines and find a wife to bring back. That would be your option if you had a job and you couldn't afford to retire. Your option then would be to come to the Philippines, find a wife, and bring her back. Okay, if you can retire, your much better option is to go to the Philippines and live there, because your retirement money is going to be worth much more in the Philippines, and you're going to live a really good life in the Philippines. Okay. Now, if you can't do either of those, you cannot bring a wife back, or you don't want to, and you cannot retire in the Philippines, then your only choice would be to take a vacation in the Philippines. So right. I would frame it that way, that you sort of have these three options. You know, find somebody to bring back, live in the Philippines, or vacation in the Philippines. So given that, your question was, what could you expect in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I guess what could you really realistically expect? Could you expect to get laid there? Okay, I'll be very blunt about it. Could a guy expect to get laid there without having to go to a brothel and just pay a prostitute? I mean, would the women be open to the idea that, hey, I know there's a lot of virgins in the Philippines. Don't get me wrong. I've talked to a 30-year-old virgin, and there's a lot of good Catholic girls there. But from what I understand, they're much more sexually liberated than American women.
Well, it's funny because there's this, like, big divide in the Philippines. Okay. It's like there's these a lot of sexually liberated women, and then there's this whole other segment of very conservative religious women. And it's really a big divide, you know. It's like there's very little in the middle.
I know what you're saying. In other words, I know exactly where this is going. You've got a lot of Filipino women, and if you're a 30, 40-year-old virgin and you want to find a 30-year-old virgin woman, you can move to the Philippines and easily find them. They're there. I've talked to a few of them.
They are.
There's quite a few of them that are just not – they're devoted to their family, and they're not, you know, into just, you know, going out there and finding –
Well, there's a – because of the Catholic religion, there's a lot of them that just have decided that it's just a sin to have sex before marriage, and they're not going to have sex before.
By the way, I want to say that's a good thing for a guy that wants to find a faithful wife. If you marry a virgin, you're probably likely you're not going to deal with a flaky woman as a general rule.
I don't know if I agree with that, but anyways, I mean, yeah, faithful, yes, but flaky. I mean, if you're a 40-year-old virgin, I'm not sure that's the kind of woman that I would want. But anyways, that's another issue.
Okay, so you can expect. When I interviewed Steve N, I talked to him, and he basically was saying that he made it all – here's what we talked about before I got on the phone with you or Skype. You said that he paints it too rosy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of negatives to the Philippines too. What are those negatives?
Okay. First of all, if you came here for a three-week vacation, you could have all the sex you wanted. But probably not without paying for it.
Okay.
That being said, you're going to pay a huge amount less than you would pay in the United States.
Oh, yeah. All right, for sure.
Okay. I mean, the difference is going to be immense.
Dinner at Applebee's would cost more than getting laid overnight, probably.
That's probably true. And also, see, the thing is that in the United States, somebody's either a prostitute or they're not a prostitute, more or less. But in the Philippines, there's a... It's not quite like that. There's different shades of prostitution.
Exactly.
And in some of these shades that are in the middle, some people would call them a prostitute and some people wouldn't, okay? Like there are hardcore prostitutes typical prostitutes that you think of in America where, you know, there's a pimp and they're gonna negotiate a price and it's going to be for like an hour and you're going to pay your money and you're going to get laid and that's it. You know, there's like that. And then there's like bar girls that work on their own, and those girls are a little bit more towards the gray area because they're going to go into the bar and they're going to talk to guys that they like, and they're not going to go out with any good guy, and they're going to give more of their personality and be more nice, but they are going to expect to get something if you have sex with them, you know. And then there are more and more gray levels. You know, there are students, there are other people that really aren't prostitutes at all, but you know, maybe they're going to beg you for some money if you know for some help, you know. You know, let's say you meet a girl who's a student, okay, and you think she's really nice. You're there on a vacation and you get her to go to bed with you, and then after she goes to bed with you, she's going to say, oh, you know, I really need some money for my books. You know, can you give me some money for my books? And then if you say no, I'm not going to pay you any money. I don't believe in paying for sex, but if you answered like that,
yeah,
you wouldn't see her again, you know. Now, does that mean she's a prostitute, or does that not mean she's a prostitute? You know what I mean? There's a lot of gray in the Philippines.
Well, I like that. I wish more American women were like that. I really wish more American women were like that, where like they would sleep with you and maybe you could just give them some extra money, you know, and because it's more of a personable thing versus, you know, paying an escort. But American women are just too good for that kind of thing, and they'd rather relegate themselves to princess. But it's just – I see what you mean by the gray area. In other words, most of the Filipino women that are not virgins, let's be very clear on this, that are not virgins might not be a prostitute type, but they might expect something in return for maybe going to bed with you.
Exactly, exactly. So whether you want to call it a prostitute or not is up to you. But the experience that you're going to get is going to be far, far better than, you know,
but you know what, though? You know what the thing about that situation – there's more of a human element to it because the woman does somewhat feel emotionally bonded, maybe in the sense that if you got to know that girl, you might be her best friend and sure you'd help her out financially, but she might also fall in love with you or at least be very close to you. You know what I'm saying? I've heard a lot of guys relate that same scenario where like they'll have a girl on the side that they really feel close to and they give them money, but not a lot of money, but enough money to survive because, of course, an American money buy goes a long way.
That's right.
So it's not like they're prostitutes.
Yeah, but some people might say they're, you know, if you talk to a woman and you told them that's your story, they'd say, so you're fucking a prostitute, you know. That would be, excuse my English, is that all right that I said that?
That's okay, you can say it in my interview. This is made for internet consumption only. This is not going on the broadcast, it's on the airwaves, don't worry.
You know, it's how you want to think about it, but I would say it's a gray area. And to me, they're not prostitutes. You know, if you talk to a student and you like each other and you have some drinks and then you go to bed with her and then afterwards she begs you for some money to help her school and you give it to her and then maybe a few days later you see her again and she asks for a little bit more help and you give it to her, it doesn't really feel like she's a prostitute, but she is wanting something, and one could argue that she's a prostitute. It's that gray area thing that I'm talking about.
Okay. The question I have, speaking of, you talk about the girls in the bars. Okay, you obviously mentioned that if you go to Angeles City or Manila or whatever, you go into a city. You recommended that guys don't go to normal bars versus just the girly bars. Why not just go to the typical bar where you sit down and there's girls there and you start chatting with them? I just kind of like girly bars are just money bars for the women. They're not really the kind of bars I would typically go to. If I wanted to meet women, for example, in the States, Larry, I would not go to a girly bar because I know the girls are just after your money and they're just going to fleece you. What is wrong with your traditional just going to a bar and sitting next to a girl or talking to a few girls that are there with their friends?
There's nothing wrong with it, but it's – I think it's just a little bit of a culture thing. The girls that are likely to be at a regular bar are likely to be with their friends. You know, it would be very unlikely that a girl would not be with a bunch of friends or whatever. I'm not saying it's impossible or it is a possibility, but it may not just be your best strategy, that's all.
Okay, so a girl's with her friends, so I go up and start chatting with the girl, and what if she happens to be one of those college girls that needs some money on the side? Then that's
absolutely – it's a perfectly good way to go, but it's it's a perfectly good way to go. I guess – okay, let me get back to your point about the 3 weeks. You come there for 3 weeks. Basically, it comes down to this. The more time you have, the more options you have.
Okay.
Okay. And let's say you came there for 2 days and you wanted to have sex, okay?
Well,
if you were only here – for 2 days, the only way you could get sex is to go to some place like Angeles or a bar where there's prostitutes, and do it that way.
And that's not a fun prospect, by the way. I'm not looking to just find, not that that option doesn't exist in my mind, but I'm kind of looking for the idea that you kind of might either meet a woman online I think that maybe one of the best ways is to talk online with several girls so that when you go there, you're not dealing with a slut that you're almost going to guaranteed to get sex, but it's not going to be in the – there's going to be no time constraint, you know?
Well, that's a if you can set up women to meet ahead of time, that's the best way by far. That's right. Great, because then you've already developed a repertoire. Maybe you've already discussed sexual issues. Maybe she already feels close to you, and then you go there, and then you're visiting her. She's probably, if she's not a virgin, if she's somewhat liberated, she probably will have sex with you under that condition. But if you just go there and you have a few days, you could have sex for sure, but it takes a little bit longer to get the good girls than a few days. You have to
and
work
I think
out
that's, and I, like I said, I think that's a good thing because it shows that, you know, you don't want to necessarily find a girl that's just going to jump in the sack with you, you know, right away. But you're obviously liking your reasoning for being in the Philippines. Now I know when we talked a minute ago, this is where where we decided to do the interview. I started to ask you the question. It says, you know, you're tell us about yourself. You're married right now, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And you've been married for what, 10 years?
9 years.
9 years. Okay, now, yeah. You've been in the Philippines 9 years, and why didn't you just live the Playboy life and just say, the heck with marriage, you know? I'm going to live the Playboy.
Yeah, and that's when I said to you, that's a great question. Let's start the interview.
Okay. That's great, because I didn't want you to tell me twice. I'm glad this will be the first time I hear you give me this answer, okay?
Okay, that's actually a wonderful question. I think that a lot of guys, when they come the first time, they're overwhelmed by the interest that they get, okay? And they're likely to jump into something quicker than they should because they just can't believe the luck they had. So in other words, it's like this. A guy who's used to getting rejected all the time comes to the Philippines. He has, you know, he's going to be here for 3 months, okay? Now, after 2 weeks, he finds this gorgeous woman. Beautiful, she's sweet, she's nice, she's good in bed, she's everything. And he is so used to not having that, so used to being rejected all the time, he just can't believe that he has that. He thinks, and the instinct is to act on that, to protect that right away.
Right, I see. It's called, we in America, we call that sexual insecurity.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys, they do jump into things, and then later on they're sorry. They say, "Shit, you know, look at all the women I could have had, or I could have been a playboy, or I could have done this, or I could, you know." And there is that. So, in my case, am I sorry I got married? No, because you know I have a pretty good marriage. And I'm happy, you know. But there are times that, sure, you know, most married guys will admit there are times when they say, gee, why did they jump into it so quick? I could have, you know, had so much more fun, you know, just playing the field.
Right.
So that is something to think about, that when you come to the Philippines, there is this tendency to jump into things.
Right.
And if you have time, and not all men have time, but if you have time, you should resist the urge to focus in on one woman right away, you know,
right.
I think.
So in my situation, if I go there, and I'm going to probably have a little less than 3 weeks, maybe 18, 20 days, I'll probably have to have a calculated plan where I'll maybe have 5 or 6 women lined up so that it's not like I'm trying to shotgun it, you know, like try to take the shotgun approach where you just
right.
shoot at everything. Now,
if you only have a few weeks like that, that's your best bet by far to have the women lined up.
So in other words, get yourself a subscription to like philippinaheart.com or cherryblossoms.com and
yes.
get on those sites and immediately start hitting a lot of women. Actually, what's nice about those sites is the difference between foreign dating sites and American dating sites is as soon as you get on there, women are emailing you immediately.
Yeah, you're wanted. Yeah. And in fact, from the women's point of view, it's hard to get a guy interested in them. I've talked to women on Filipino Heart and beautiful women, and they're discouraged. You know, I've been on there 3 months, and I only had, you know, 3 guys email me or something like that. Whereas the guys get on there, the woman, you're
hey, that sounds like role reversal. That sounds like the United States. It sounds like a Plenty of Fish where you're a guy, you get on there, you email 500 women to get 3 responses. But women, like the first time I did a profile of a woman one time to see, just want to experiment. I hadn't even filled out the questionnaire, and I was getting instant messages from guys immediately. Goes to show how
special,
yeah.
It is a total role reversal. Total role reversal.
It is because it's well, let me ask you, Larry, why do you think it takes desperate measures like this for us guys to get romantic or sexual satisfaction? What is so fucking wrong? Excuse my language, but what is wrong with America that guys have – the minority of guys like this have to just go to this extreme to find this? I mean, what is – do American women just not fit the bill or what?
Gee, I don't know if I can really. I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that. I don't really know. You know, I think it has a lot to do with this feminism thing and equal thing. You know, in the old days, you know, women had a you know, had their role and the men had their role. I think equality in a relationship in some ways is a good thing,
yeah.
But in a lot of ways it causes a lot of problems. And I think in America, you know, the women are just into this whole exact equality thing. And who am I to say that's wrong? From their point of view, you know, why shouldn't they want equality?
Right.
But from a man's point of view, it just makes it difficult.
Right.
Because you know, it's just easier if somebody's sort of the boss, you know. And it's easier for both, in a sense.
Right.
And in the Philippines, you know, you're the boss here, you know. And it's not really a point of contention or stress, you know, who's the boss or who's in control. And I think in America, I don't know, they just gotten into this. I don't know, I can't explain it. But the women are so picky, you know, they're so, you know, looking for something wrong, or whatever. And you know, can I just tell you a very quick story about my wife, the one I divorced in America? We had a lot, you know, we had some various problems, but one of the things that was wrong with, well, she's going to say what was wrong with me. I'm going to say what was wrong with her. But she was very independent, and she was always saying, "I don't give her space. I don't give her space. I don't give her space." But I did give her space. I let her go out with her friends. I let her do this. I let her do that. But if she was reading a book and I said, came up to her and said, "What's the book about?" Her answer would be, "Can't you see I'm reading? Why are you bothering me? Give me my space." Or, you know, one time I bought her for her birthday a woodworking tools. And then when I became interested in the woodworking she was doing, it's like, "Why are you bothering me? This is my hobby. You're not giving me space." It's like, and it's like the idea of something like that. And that was like a big issue for her. And the idea of something like that being an issue for a Filipino woman is like so ridiculous. It's like a Filipino woman is happy if they have a good life, if they're comfortable, if you treat them well, you don't treat them like shit, and you give them a good life, and they're comfortable, they're happy. That's all it takes.
Right.
America, what?
They're not neurotic basket cases.
No. I mean, you know, that's really the big difference. I mean, they just want – it takes so much less to make them happy, I think is what it comes down to.
Right. They can be manipulative, but they're pretty much self – I mean, they're not – they're a little more subservient.
Well, Filipino women are kind of like an interesting mix. They're not really totally subservient. I mean, you know, in Filipino society, there's a lot of women with good jobs. And they're not wimps. They're not like you can do anything you want to them, and it's their own. But they have their opinions, and they're going to let their opinions be known, and they're going to manipulate you in various ways that they feel they can manipulate you. But it's not going to be the kind of thing where you say, "Honey, can you wash the dishes?" And they're going to say, "Wash it yourself. Why should I wash it?" Or, you know, they're going to cook the meals for you. They're going to you know, clean the house. They're gonna treat you, you know, like a man wants to be treated, and so they're subservient in that respect. Whether you want to call that subservience or they just accept that as being as part of what it is to be feminine, I think it's. I would call it more they accept that as part of their feminine role than I would say it's being subservient.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're saying. Speaking of the expat community, what can you expect if you do decide to live over there? Is there a big expat community there?
Yes, there is.
And
yes.
Are they kind of – do they all have a camaraderie or you don't have to worry about getting into like dealing with belligerent bar type of people, because in the Philippines it seems like it's more of a laid-back atmosphere. Am I correct?
Mostly correct, but – here's the thing about expats. They fall into roughly two groups. They fall into, like, nice guys that have been disillusioned to the United States, been through a divorce or something like that, had good jobs, and they're coming here because they want something different, they want a different life, and that's why they're here. That's sort of like group A. And you have another group, group B, which is sort of here because they just there's something wrong with their personality, and they just couldn't make it there, and they feel like they have a chance here, and they do have a chance here, but it's kind of sad the way it works out, because they usually just don't know how to. They're still losers even though they're here. You know what I mean?
Well, are they kind of like the hippie, the fringe group, the hippie types that can't make it in the conventional because they don't want to work a job, so they decide, well, I'm going to just be some asshole that hangs out in the Philippines.
I don't know if I'd put them in that category. I put it more in the category of not very nice people. Somebody who maybe
so then you would put them in the category as the kind of guys that would start a fight with you in a bar. That type of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So, but they like can't. That. Obviously, in the Philippines, there's no room for that behavior because it's not a culture that caters to those kind of. I call them Joe Kickass types. You know, real assholes.
No, they not American. Well, the thing is, it's. If they do that to a Philippine, they're in trouble. But if they do it to a fellow American, the Philippines don't care.
Oh, yeah, probably. So then, in other words, those are the kind of people that an expat like myself or you would want to avoid.
Absolutely, yeah.
And are they easy to avoid, or do you – are they
– Yeah, they're easy. No, they're easy to avoid.
So they're not like – you don't like go into a bar and sit down and some belligerent psychopath wants to kick your ass or something or
no, but you'll see belligerent psychopaths and you just avoid them. That's all.
Yes, exactly. Because you don't know what you don't want to argue. Once you determine that you're dealing with a guy like this from a distance, you say, I don't want to deal with him and just ignore him. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And I would say that it's only 30%. 70% is the good guys.
Yeah. Because most of the pictures that I've seen of male expats are guys in their 50s or 40s. And they don't look like these kind of guys that you'd meet in a biker bar or something or looking for trouble. But somehow you're saying that there's a small percentage of guys that seem to feel at home there. Well, what kind of women want those kind of guys is what I'd like to know.
Well, that's a good question. And the thing is about the woman is that they're so – a lot of them are so desperate to have a better life that they don't really
– use judgment.
Their judgment is clouded.
Right.
And there's a very limited, you know, for every woman that wants to meet a foreigner, there might be 10 or 15 women that are hoping to meet a foreigner for every foreigner that's available. And so
that's
if you're a foreigner
– thing for us – well, I'll tell you what, that spells success for guys. That's for sure.
100%. But it also means that even if you're a shit, you're going to be able to find a woman.
Well, you know what? That's interesting. That sounds like the behavior – we're talking about belligerent psychopaths living in the Philippines, males, Americans or expats. That sounds to me like guys being willing to settle for women with bad behavior that sleep with lots of guys because they're so desperate. That sounds like the American scene in reverse.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They're so – they see a guy with a little bit of money and they're so – and you just have to think about sometime, if you meditate about what it would really be like to live in a third world country when you're very poor. Meditate about the fact that you have maybe $50 a month to spend or $100 a month to spend. Think about the fact that when you live, maybe you have to live in what they call a bed spacer because you can't afford a place to live, so you just rent a single bed in a room with 20 other people and no privacy. And the fact that maybe there's no electricity there, and you have to just eat rice, and that if you have to go to the doctor, you can't because you can't afford it. And just think about what it's like to live such a very, very, very basic life. And then imagine somebody comes along that can give you a good life all of a sudden, give you things to buy, good food, and a comfortable place to sleep, and all the things that you want. It's just so it's so intoxicating,
right?
And the women are so desperate to get out of the poverty that they have that they'll look past a guy that's not a very good guy. And so you might have a guy that's here because he couldn't get along with other guys in America. He beat his women because, always yelling at his women, always, the kind of guy that screams and yells or maybe even hits a woman or something like that. And he maybe is not going to have any success in America, and he's going to come here, and he's still going to be able to find a woman here. And
well, you know what? But see, then a lot of people might say that that's the typical bad boy mentality that women like in this country. So it looks like that the bad boy can go anywhere and get laid.
I guess. I don't know. But I sometimes when I see the women with these kind of guys, I just feel sorry for them. You know, I just feel like they got maybe more money or a better place to sleep, but at what cost? You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's
Do you see this international phenomenon being such that it could tip the scene to the point where men? I mean, I doubt this is just a pipe dream in my idea of my mind. But I'm wondering if enough men, maybe this might create a national crisis, where not a crisis, but if men in America were to start this trend of actually going abroad and saying, I'm tired of the dating scene. Winston Wu and I both agree on this one thing. The reason why men aren't getting anywhere in the dating scene is because it's embarrassing to complain about the dating scene. It makes you look like a loser. For example, if a guy in America says, I can't get a girlfriend, he might as well be saying – the Jews are the world's problems. In other words, he's in the same boat as somebody that's anti-Semitic. He's going to be ostracized or treated like the plague. You know, it's almost like no guy is ever going to say, I can't get a girlfriend. And I think maybe that's the reason why most guys won't look for the alternative route to go overseas or something, you know?
It just takes a lot of guts, I think, you know, to throw away – to really – most people are – you know, they get in a comfort zone.
Right.
And –
but it's the embarrassment end of it too, because I mean, I honestly would never tell. I'm not afraid what people think, but years ago I wouldn't have said I can't get a girlfriend. This sucks, because I would have been thinking to myself, God, they're going to think what a loser I am, and that's almost like an incentive for guys just to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, that's true, and also like if you were some guy 35 or something or 40 or and you said I'm going to go to the Philippines so I can get a woman there, you know, because I can't get a woman here. You're right. They would say like. Ugh. Loser or whatever, yeah.
Well,
exactly.
my immediate family, I've already imparted to a couple of my family members about this, and they're already telling me, are you sure it's not you that's got the problem? I says, I didn't even want to discuss it with them, because there's just no point in getting into a long-winded 20-hour discussion about why I feel the way I do. This has taken me years of soul-searching, reading hundreds, maybe thousands of hours over the years of articles to realize what's going on. It for somebody just to say, well, do you maybe think it's you that's got the problem? No, I really don't. But you don't want to know something? This is an ego. Do you see my point? Yeah, if even family will ridicule you for it.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing I'm not – I sort of do – I disagree a little bit on you with you is that you're looking at it from a guy's point of view. And saying how miserable it is for a guy. I'm not so sure it's that different for – I'm sure you're going to disagree with me from the things you said. But if you're a 50-year-old woman, aren't you sort of washed up in the United States?
At 50 possibly, but definitely not 40. I happen to know a couple 40-year-old women – woman even approaching 50, she sluts it up at the bar. She's not really as attractive as she's gotten older. But if – no, I think women pretty much – a woman can be well into their mid-40s and be sexually – by the time a woman – see, this is a big myth, and I'm going to point this out to my listeners.
Hold on 1 second? Somebody's knocking at my door, and this is the second time. I just have to check it out.
All right. Well, I will impart this myth that goes on, and I'll reiterate it. The myth is that basically that women, by the time they're 40, they're ready to settle down, and men, of course, are – going to just settle for these women, and unfortunately it doesn't work out that way.
Hello, I'm back.
Okay, I'm going to reiterate what I was going to say. The myth in America is that by the time women are 40, they're ready to settle down, they'll settle for Mr. Nice Guy. That's not true. I'm finding out that more 40-year-old women are getting plastic surgery and are looking really good. Look at Valerie Burton Ellery. She's 47 years old. She's acting like she's Miss Pretty. You know, she's acting like she's 27, you know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think men have any chance in this country, even in their 40s, unless they get the fuck out of here. This is my opinion. American women have – their egos are so driven so high because of the putting them on the pedestal. They're just – there's no chance. I find it – just look at the online personals. You just get on there. I've emailed 40-something-year-old women, and they're like, oh, you're a nice guy, but – you know, I'm already dating somebody, or I'm taken, and it's like, why you got your personal? They even 40-something-year-old women get tons of responses.
Really?
I just don't believe – I don't buy it. This is where we might disagree. I happen to – I just think that 40-something-year-old women have a lot of options still.
Okay. Well, I can't really disagree with you too strong because I've been out of that scene for so long. But anyways, let's get back to the Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've lost my train of thought. Was there something you were asking me?
No, I'm just – we're talking about basically the difference between the men and women. Guy goes there. You're talking about – we're talking about the unsavory characters. Basically, it is definitely – if a guy goes to the Philippines, it's going to be the difference between night and day.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, it's the night and day. And the more time you have here, the better – the more options you have, and I would say the better quality woman you can find.
I bet you there's one thing you don't see very often in the Philippines, and somebody told me this. You don't see too many white American women walking around. Somebody imparted to me that it's like I guess if you're a white woman in the Philippines, you'd feel very intimidated because no American guy is going to give you any attention if you've got all these beautiful Filipino women around.
You see occasional white women with their boyfriends, on vacation. But, yeah, you don't see a single white woman walking.
No, and that's funny. Isn't that ironic that American women almost know instinctively, hey, let's stay away from these environments where we're going to look be put to shame?
I guess. Yeah, you're right. They're not here.
Yeah.
Very few white women, yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. If I get off the plane and somebody went to Thailand told me this. I don't know if this applies to the Philippines, but he says that in Thailand, if you're an American guy and you get off the plane, he says the female cab drivers would accost the guy and say, "You come home with me." That's fantasy. You wouldn't expect that, would you?
Well, okay. I've been to Thailand. I've been there for 6 weeks, so I can sort of answer that question. And here's the thing. I would say if you're not really looking for a relationship, if you're looking for a sex vacation, I would choose Thailand over the Philippines.
Right.
Because I think there's more women there who just willing to hook up with you for a week or like in the Thailand they have this concept of like girlfriend for a month, you know, like there's a lot of Thai girls that. They look for a guy who's on vacation for a month. They want to hook up with him for a week or two and be their girlfriend for a few weeks, and then that's fine with them. And there's not really that concept in the Philippines. So if your goal was not really to find a long-term relationship, but simply to have a fun vacation with sex, you might want to consider choosing Thailand over the Philippines.
Right.
But if you're looking for a relationship, then the Philippines 100% over Thailand.
Well, and I realize that, but let me ask a question. I go to – even the short time I'm there, let's say I'm there 3 weeks in the Philippines, will I get stares from women just being an American?
Yes.
Absolutely. There's no question. Yeah. So I will feel more important. Yeah. I won't feel like
– but
it's a lonely feeling in America. Go ahead. But give me the
book. Okay. Well, the thing is about the women here, the good woman, okay, there's different levels of women, but the woman that – maybe you'd want to find for your wife, the woman that you're really looking for if you want a relationship. If they know you're only here for a week or two, they're not. That's going to turn them off, okay? Because that for them, from their point of view, that's not long enough for them to get to know you, okay? So it constrains you. My recommendation, and I know that everybody can't do this. I know 100% everybody can't do this. But if you can come here and not feel under a time constraint, if you can take a few months off.
Okay, so let's say you had $5,000. Could $5,000 get you through a couple months?
$5,000 could get – well, it depends how careful you are, but it could get you through at least 3 months.
Okay, good. So $5,000 you have to spend, which I'm willing to spend. I probably could get that. I got that actually right now, close to it. I could probably have more. But if I wanted to take 3 months off of work for whatever, change jobs, and I'm flexible in my job. I wanted to be here for 3 months. I could see a radical change. That would be interesting.
Yeah, you'd start noticing things after about 3 or 4 weeks. Would people get to know you, you'd make some contacts, and things would change. If you just go there under a time constraint and you're expecting that, okay, I'm going to find some great – you know, it's just the fact that you're under this time constraint is going to cramp your style. And
unless you've already met some women that you're ready to meet, if you've chatted,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a different constraint. If you met a woman that, let's say you talked to two or three women and you've chatted with them, of course, technically, if you meet one, if you chat with a bunch of women, only one woman, ultimately the first woman you meet is probably going to be the one that wants to be with you all that time, you know?
Right. Or it may not work out from your point of view. You should always have more than one lined up, even if you don't wind up seeing them.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah, that's totally different. Yeah. And I totally agree with that, philosophy. If you're only going to be there a few weeks, you want to line up, you want to get to know these women online and have them lined up 100%. Because if you go there cold, now that doesn't mean you can't have fun. I was going to get into this. Like, what if you don't have any lined up from the internet? And what if you only have a few weeks? Well, then what you're going to do is you're going to go to a place like Angeles City or Manila, and then you're going to meet girls in the bars. Now, even if that's your constraint, you're going to have more fun than you would in America. Even if you were in America and money wasn't a problem. In other words, let's say you were in America and you were rich and you wanted to have sexual fun. Well, even under that circumstance, maybe you could get a high-class prostitute, but they'd still want to just be with you for a few hours, get their money and go or whatever. You know, in the Philippines, you're going to have more chance for this gray area. So, for example, you could go into a bar and you could meet these girls that specialize in just hanging around bars and looking for guys to hook up with. And you could hook up with them, and they would expect some money, but you're gonna get to be with them and be friends with them and have some fun with them and hang around with them. It's going to be a better situation than, you know, just a plain prostitute.
I have an off-the-wall question to ask you. I've seen a couple of Filipino women that are kind of chunky, and then you see the ones that are skinny. Where here in America, where it seems like there's so many obese women, what causes some of these Filipino women to be chunky versus the ones that are real super skinny? What is going on? Is it a difference in diet? I mean, they're not eating junk food like they do here, but why do you see these chunky girls versus these real skinny girls?
Great question. First of all, there's a tendency for a lot of Filipino women get heavier as they get older.
Okay.
You'll see these women that are 18, 19, 20, and they're drop dead gorgeous. And then you see them at 25 or 26, they're starting to get chunky. There is a genetic tendency for them to get chunky when they get old.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them. Not all of them do, but there is that.
Don't get me wrong. I think chunky looks cute. I'm not against chunkiness. I'm against obesity, because in America we have an obesity problem. I don't think chunky is – I think chunky looks kind of sexy if it's well-proportioned. But if it's obese, you know, you don't see obese women, that's for sure.
Well, a few. But, yeah, mostly I would be in the chunky category. And it's funny because you see a lot of these Filipinos that hook up with foreigners – They're maybe incredibly sexy when they meet, and then 5 years later, you know, they're overweight because they're not used to eating as much as they want, whenever they want, and eating good food and all that. And so there's a tendency for the ones that hook up with foreigners to sometimes get a little overweight. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen. It does happen.
Right, I see.
But I would just say that, yeah, there's a lot of them that just between the ages of 18 and 28, their body goes through changes, and I think a lot of them are genetically predisposed to being a little bit chunky. That's the best to come up with.
I'm sorry, I'm all over the map with questions with you. It's just
I don't mind.
I don't feel like I'm really I don't know. It's just it's oh, Winston Wu is calling me. This is weird. I gotta talk to this guy in a minute here.
Is there any way to do it three-way?
Yeah, we can go three-way if you want. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Are you there? Are you still there?
Yes.
I'm going to hold on a second. Let me see if I can go conference. Hold on a second. Give me 1 second here. Are you still there?
Yes. You hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. Let me do this. I'm going to see if I can drag him over and go conference, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. Where is he? He's trying to get in touch with me. Give me 1 second here. Okay.
Sure. Oh,
there he is. Let me put I'm going to do that invite a conference. Let me see. This is kind of neat with this okay, hold on a second. Call video invite a conference. Oh, invite to conference. Okay. Hold on a second.
I'm going to call him right now. Okay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to try to call him right now. Okay, it's ringing right now.
Okay.
I'm going to see if he answers. Okay, call failed. Okay, no biggie. Okay, we'll just keep talking. I'll just talk to him in a little bit. But anyways, so we were where was I lost? I was getting lost there. I was kind of
You were saying you were going all over the place, but because the last thing you talked about was why did they get chunky or whatever. The thing is, there's so much to talk about. It is hard to not go all over the place.
Yeah, but that's okay. But this is what this is. I love this off the cuff interview. We can get into another structured interview. But anyways, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there's so much to be said. I think there's a consensus of agreement of you didn't agree with the Steve N interview because you said that he was too optimistic. But we all agree that it's going to be a much more friendly place for a guy that's not had very good success with women.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. The only thing I disagreed really with what what was his name, Steve N?
Yeah, Steve N or Steve Nee.
Steve Nee. I mean, I didn't disagree with everything he said, but the picture he painted was that these girls are like some kind of angels. They're perfect and they're just so great and they're so this and they're so that and they have the proper attitude, And I was just saying that attitude, they're not perfect people, they have their agendas, they have their good ups and downs, and there's trade-offs with being cross-cultural, it's not all perfect. That's what I was disagreeing with, not the fact that that it's so much easier. That's 100% true. There's no disagreement there.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, a lot of people have misconceptions. It's the girl that I was telling you that I had talked to, that 25-year-old Filipina, she kept saying, oh, what are Americans like? Are they like movie stars? And then she was going on and on about how she thought that American women treated men great and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I want to scold her because I just could not deal hearing
this. How is she supposed to know, really?
Well, yeah, and I wanted to but then I thought, don't get angry because she doesn't know. She's grown up in a bubble where she turns on Filipino translated shows like Friends and thinks that Americans are so social because I watch the show Friends and they must be just like those people in the show, and they're really not like that.
Well, they like to generalize. They'll it's not uncommon for people to say I don't like Americans or I don't like Germans or they do get these ideas. They do tend to stereotype and get these ideas, certain ideas that Americans are this way or these people are that way or whatever.
Right.
You see, it's very common.
Interesting. Yeah, they do, but for sure, you gotta. That's why I feel like sometimes you just gotta lay it down, but. So a couple weeks creates a time constraint. You recommend that you definitely meet in advance, have somebody lined up so that you know for sure that hey, that's who you're going to meet.
Yes.
So let's talk about cities. You don't really recommend Manila, is that correct?
Well, not really, but some people might not some people might like Manila. First of all, Manila is more expensive than any place else.
Oh, it
Second
is.
Of
That's
all,
right. Yes, Cebu. Everybody's telling me is the best city to go to.
Cebu is a good city to go to. It's a good. Yes, Cebu is good.
They speak a much different language. Oh, I have a question to ask you. I'm really big into foreign languages. I was in Germany. I was learning German. You wrote in your book that you're not very optimistic. You don't think it's really necessary to learn to speak any of those dialects. Is that correct?
Optimistic. I don't know. I said that it's not necessary. It could help. I said it can help, but it's not necessary.
But it would be almost a waste of time, right?
No, I can't say that. I think it wouldn't be a waste of time at all. It's just that for myself, I'm just kind of lazy. I'm not particularly good at languages, and the amount of effort for me to learn would not be worth it for me personally, or at least I've made that determination. But if you're the kind of guy that's good at languages and you can pick up a language fairly easily, no, I wouldn't say it's a waste of time. It's worth it. But do you need to learn language? No.
No, I see. That's the key. Do you need to, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That I guess that spells it all out for you. What else can you say?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference between, let's say, the Philippines and Thailand. Thailand, they just don't speak English.
Here, yeah. That's that. In I found that out with the Ukraine and Russia. As beautiful as these women are, you'd think, oh, they all speak English. Almost impossible to find an English-speaking woman. You see these interviews with Anna Kournikova, the tennis player, or Maria. Oh, they all speak perfect English, just like these Russians. That's baloney. None of them do.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things about the Philippines. It just has the right combination of things. Yeah.
Good for American, because who'd want to be juggling with words, you know?
Yeah. But one thing you said before, you were talking about foreign women, and you were saying maybe a lot of men are going to be coming and meeting foreign women. But, I mean, let's just be honest a little bit about what it is that's making all this possible. It's the difference in – it's the money thing. In other words, if you go to Japan, you're not going to have success.
No. Okay? Oh, no. Yeah, that's another thing. Why wouldn't you have success in Japan? I want to hear – I kind of know the answer, but I want to hear your answer.
Well – the reason you're having success in the Philippines is because there's a lot of poor women who want a better life. Maybe they wouldn't put it that way, or maybe you don't want to think about it that way, but that's what it amounts to. You're giving these women a chance to have a better life, and that's why they're willing to be with you. That's why a younger woman's willing to be with an older man or whatever. In Japan, that's a first world country. The women there are just not thinking that way.
Right.
You know, they don't need
fact,
a, they don't
in,
need
in
a man
Japan,
from America.
Japanese people are just Oriental versions of Americans. They don't even look at you and talk to strangers. They'll look at you. Winston Wu has said this best. He goes, when I went to Japan, Japanese people don't look at you like – they just look straight and they just do their thing, you know?
Yeah. No, you have to make that distinction. It's not just that – I don't think it's just that the United States is so bad. I think it's – the United States might be particularly bad. But I think it's a first world Western type of thing. I think it's
right.
– I think it probably applies to places like England, Australia, the United States, Canada. I don't think it's just the United States. And I think if you go to, you know, the places that you can be successful at are the third world countries where they're looking for a guy who can help them in any way, you know, with a better life or better this. If you go, like I said, if you go to Japan or you go to, I don't know, Singapore or Hong Kong.
Taiwan, Winston says Taiwan is not even personal. You can't even get a date. Taiwanese people are not real friendly. I mean, they're not unfriendly. They're just real unsocial.
I don't know. For me personally, and maybe I'm wrong, but my own experience, I've never found a Chinese person. I've never been able to go up to a pretty Chinese girl and start a conversation or have them be interested in me.
Well, that's because none of them speak English, too. I mean, they don't speak English there.
Maybe that's it, but I'm just talking about wherever I've been, whether it's been in the Philippines or here, you know, whatever. I haven't had a lot of success with Chinese, so I don't think it's just Asian or it's all abroad. You have to say it's certain countries where you're going to have the success, not just any country, and the Philippines is certainly one of them.
Now, personal question: have you ever been tempted to go around and look at other women?
I have to worry about whether my wife's going to listen to the broadcast. Of course, any guy that's here is tempted. I mean, it's just in your face, that's the way it is. I mean, you have lots of opportunities here. If you live here, the longer you live here, the more opportunity you have.
Can you be like? Can you be like a regular? I mean, realistically, be if you wanted to be a playboy and you had a fairly good retirement, could you see yourself being like a Mick Jagger, like on tour or something, like where you just get all the women, like you could just have tons of women at your beckoning?
Well, there are men that do that, and yes, you could do that. And it's funny because it still comes down to the being here, because even if in your own mind you're a playboy and you don't want to get married, the women don't know that. They see that you're living here. They see and they think of you as somebody that's steady because you're living here and they're hoping to get you. They get to know you. Different people get to know you, and then
Sounds like men are chasing American women. I get that one in a million chance.
So you know, the thing is, if you're here for an extended period of time, you can't even help yourself. It will come your way 100%. Okay?
Oh, man.
You know, 100% will come your way. But the less time you have, the less that is true. You know, the more you have to work at it, or the less options you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say if you have limited time, you want to go. You definitely want to do the route that you talked about, set it up ahead of time. Or if you have limited time, you have to go to a place like Angeles, where the women are, you know, set up to entertain you.
You know that I could see realistically if you're self-employed, realistically even going 5 or 6 times a year to the Philippines, but. My ultimate goal would be to live there. I don't think I could settle for just traveling there. It's too much work. But the income issue is a big thing because, like you said, you could be the best plumber in New York City, but if you go to the Philippines, you're going to be working for $7 a day. And
right.
$7 a day is – well, 7 times 3 is $210 a month. That's not going to get you very far.
No. And, in fact, it's just incredible how – it's just incredible how these people live on the amount of money they have. It's like if you as an American tried to live on the amount of money they live on, you couldn't.
And
do
I guarantee
it, but
these
they
people
it.
They live poverty and they don't have any debt too. I bet.
Well, you can't have debt if you don't have assets. Nobody will give you money. But a lot of times they wind up pawning things and losing their pawns because they need money desperately for some reason or another. They'll take their only valuable things and pawn it. Pawn shops are a big thing here, and they charge you incredible interest rates.
Sounds like our credit card companies here. Not much difference, really.
Well, they do have usage laws in the United States. There's no laws here in the Philippines. They can screw you as much
laws,
as they want.
Usage laws? Are you kidding me? There's a thing out there right now that there's credit card companies that can charge as much as 77%. It's insane. It's
70% a year. Wow, really?
Yeah, there was something I saw on TV. If you're a high risk, they can charge up to 70%. But that's another story. But anyways, it's a fantastic. I really like. You said you're selling 60 books a month at $20 a pop, so it's $1,800 a month. And
No, I'm not getting that money because when you sell through Amazon, you only get 33% or 35%.
Oh, okay, 33% what through the ebook? Okay. So it, but
no, no. When you sell through an ebook, you get 90%.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say because if you sell an ebook direct, you're getting the direct profit. So I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And by the way, if you sell through an ebook, you're only paying a very small percentage to the people, you know, hosting the site or whatever. Like I go through eJunkie and PayPal, and they each get a small percentage. But
yeah,
it's not
that's
very high.
Awesome because your ebook is well worth the money for $19.95. You can't beat that. You get a lot of packed with a lot of information. I'll tell you, you are true to your word in your book. You said, I'm not going to paint this as being a rosy picture, but you're not painting it. You're being realistic that yes, there's for the most part it's good, but there's going to be some negatives like the legal system. I like when you got into the legal aspect about the lawyers and people scamming you.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah, but you know, it's more positive than negative, and there's also a sense of freedom here that you don't have in the United States. And it's hard to really put a finger on it, but like
a sense of so in other words, a cop stops you in America, he pretty much has the right to taser your ass and beat the fuck out of you. And America is becoming so police like you haven't lived here in 8 or 9 years, but you don't understand what police are like today. Lily white suburban police harass the shit out of white people like there's no tomorrow. I mean, there is no real freedom in America anymore. It's becoming a police state.
Yeah. No, and I feel that way. Like if you were in America and they caught you peeing, you know, because you had to pee, and they caught you outside, they'd arrest you.
Or, not only would they arrest you, but if you were near a school, they could legally hit you with a child obscenity charges. You'd be on the sexual predators list, and this happens all the time. Your life is over. You will never get a job. You will never. I teach in a school, and I deal with some students that have, you know, that have worked, you know, that maybe made mistakes or something, got involved in minor drug offenses. Once you got a felony, your life is fucked in America. It is over. It is. You might as well just move to the Philippines because your life's over.
Right, and it just they just have a it's just it's so much looser here. You know, you pee, nobody cares because that's just the thing that people do. When you drink, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a good thing, but like. if you drink and drive, nobody cares. Now, is that good or bad? I don't know. But the point is, it's
well,
just,
it's not
they're
good
not looking to cause problems all the time, you know. I mean, it's just like live and let live, you know.
One other thing you talked about, you said you can pretty much get over, you can get prescription Valium, but you said like drugs like Percocet, you can get that without a prescription.
Well, not Percocet, not narcotics, but most drugs you can get without a prescription. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but isn't that the same thing in America? If as long as it's not a narcotic.
No, you can't, for example, get an antibiotic in America.
Oh, we were talking antibiotics, okay.
Not just antibiotic, pain relievers, antibiotics. If you just want to get like cortisone cream, you can't get that in America without a prescription.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. But no, you can't get like drugs like you can't get anything that would make you feel high or buzzed or anything, right?
No, not legally.
Yeah, now,
no,
like,
that's the only thing they control. The
What are the laws like marijuana like there? I mean, in a state of Ohio or like most states in America, it's like a misdemeanor. Unless I heard Asian countries. I just want to say this to the viewers: you don't want to get caught up in stuff like that. Am I correct?
If you're an American, you should just stay the hell away from doing anything like that because it could be a nightmare. I mean, the thing is that in the Philippines, there's the written law and there's the de facto law. Okay, and a lot of times, like, they're very different. Like, if the Filipino got caught smoking marijuana, probably not very much would happen to them. But if a foreigner got caught smoking marijuana, you can bet your ass that you'd be in big trouble. Or you might be in big trouble, but you better pay the money to not be in big trouble.
Well, yeah, that's what I've heard. It turns into a bribe. You might be paying them 10 grand just to get out of it. So you'd basically have to bribe your way out. Either way, you're screwed.
Exactly, yeah. And, I haven't had trouble really with police since I've been here. There are some times that the people, I mean, I have heard stories, like I gave one of the stories in my book, you know, but I don't find that the police are really looking to screw the foreigners.
American police officers I believe that Winston Wu, you need to read his articles. He talks about all these paradigms that we live in. And I kind of came to this conclusion a long time ago, but it's nice to hear another guy reiterate it. It said pretty much that in America we're made to think, oh, we got all this freedom. But if you really look at it, we're more slaves than most of the world. I mean, third world countries in many ways have more freedoms than first world countries.
100%. It's like no comparison. And I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous, ironic, and funny that Americans think that they're the land of the free.
Yeah, I know.
They're so regulated and so many laws. It's like you said. It's like you might be on the internet and you don't even know you're talking to a 12-year-old, but you say something and somebody's regulating that conversation. And the next thing you know, you're in jail and you're a sexual predator. You know, right. That can happen in America.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, America, in these and I blame it on these stupid fucking yuppies from the 80s. You grew up in the yuppie area. You grew up in the era where in the 60s you guys all believed in free love, and all of a sudden in the 80s these yuppies did an about face, maximum minimum prison sentences for petty drug offenses. I need to protect my child from these predators. How did we become a society like this? I mean, this is a different subject, but it's like it all falls into this reason why I want to get the fuck out of here, because I really can't stand what America.
Yeah, it's a small segment somehow dominated the thinking, you know, like. You know, just that's it. You know,
right.
where you do the tiniest little thing and you're under suspicion. Or,
well, I mean,
or
I remember this looking at the 60s. It was about free love and people being expressive. And all of a sudden, these yuppies, these teenage kids or early 20-somethings grew up to be responsible Republicans who voted for Reagan. And now they're going to put those bad predators and those bad drug dealers in prison for long maximum minimum sentences. And oh, by the way, baby on board. You know, everybody became – we morphed into a totally different animal. Even Bob Dylan – morphed into this person of free love to this narcissist where he's all materialistic now. And I see this whole transition in America. At least the Filipino people in most third world countries, people are consistent. They don't reinvent themselves in 10 years. That's America is reinventing itself every 10 years. It's like a radical different thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. They're just so consumed with political correctness and being right and saying the right thing, and this is how you should act and this is how you should be. And hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Yeah, it's and I think this whole thing with the sexual predator is like it's kind of an interesting thing to look at because I'm sure there are really hardcore.
I think they're much smaller. The way they show it on the show called – they have this show with this guy named Chris Hansen from MSNBC. And this motherfucker, he's such an asshole. They set these people up where they had these 13-year-old kids or 18-year-old or masquerade as young adults. And then they set it up where these guys that show up at these young kids' houses, their parents' houses, they're these wimpy guys that wouldn't hurt a fly. They're wimps, and then they set them up. They get Chris Hansen to say, "Oh, so how you doing?" And then of course, I don't know if you've seen these shows, but they get the police crews there to wait to arrest them, and they hogtie them like it's a rodeo. I mean, and they set these poor guys up for this stuff, and it makes me despise this country we live in, because I realize that you're screwed either way. Who wants to live in a society that's so artificially engineered the way it is, you know? At least with Filipinos, they might seem like they're scheming you to get to marry you or your money, but they're consistently doing what human nature is. They're doing what people 1,000 years ago would have done. Our culture is in our country seems to have some different, I don't know, some fabricated plasticness about it. I can't put a finger on, but it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem very humane. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think you put it well.
If I was in the Philippines several hundred years ago, we would run into women that wanted to find a better life for themselves, but there wouldn't be pretentiousness. I think that Americans are very phony pretentiousness. They act out roles. Their whole kind of – even this like Russian woman I think on the Winston Woods website was saying that I felt that in America, Americans just are – they will giggle and laugh at things, but they're playing out a Hollywood role in their whole lives. They're not really being people. They're just pretending to be funny. It's just I feel that in other third world countries in some ways are more natural. You know, sure, poverty is bad, but I think that a third world woman in the Philippines, for example, would appreciate a guy more there because they're just more humane.
Yeah, they definitely appreciate. Like I said, if you come here as an American and you find a woman and you just treat her half decent, yeah. I don't, you know, they're going to be very grateful for you just treating them like a person, just treating them reasonably well. You know, and you might be the same way you would be with a woman in the United States who would say you were a shit, and that same way you're acting, who the American woman would interpret that you're treating them like a shit, the Filipino woman would interpret that you're treating them like gold.
Right. Listen, I'm running out of time. I got to be up in the morning. I got to teach.
Okay, no problem.
Well, here's the deal. We're gonna do more of these interviews, okay? And I'm gonna see how this first one goes. I'm gonna see what the critics say about it, but. I've had Larry Elterman. The name of your ebook or your book is again. What is it called? I'm gonna just.
On Amazon, it's A Man's Guide to Life and Love in the Philippines.
A Man's Guide to Life and Love in the Philippines. I found it to be a fantastic book. Well worth the. It was well worth the download, and it's well worth buying it on Amazon. If you want to buy it in paperback form, it's fine. I think it's a great investment into finding out what's going on. And you know what, Larry? I think that more people will get your book because they're going to realize there's so many things we can't even talk about in an interview that it's 370 or 60 pages. It's huge. It's a mammoth of a book, and it can answer almost every question you have. And it's not all positive and feel good. New Age, oh, the secret. Just think positive and life will solve all your problems. It actually lays it all out there. So, Larry, I'm going to get out of here. It's August 4th, 2010. That's about
okay. Can I just mention one very quick thing? The website, if you want to visit the website, it's lifeandloveinthephilippines.com.
Yeah, lifeandloveinthephilippines.com. By the way, Philippines is spelled Philippines. I kept thinking it was two L's. I finally got it right, but lifeandloveinthephilippines.com. And that's a great – and you know what I like about your webpage, Larry? It's simple. It's not some flashy graphics and exploding. It's right to the point. It shows you what you need. By the way, is that you on the front cover of that magazine with your butt to the sun?
Yeah, that's me.
That's you with your, is it your wife there?
No, that's just a girl that modeled for the picture.
Oh, I bet your wife really loved that, huh?
No, she didn't mind.
She didn't mind. That was a, I love that. That's a great, that spells the American dream in a nutshell.
You know, it's funny. Actually, I had a different picture originally, and that I just got it off the internet, and then somebody actually said it was a, you know, it was a copyrighted picture, and it was a model, and Amazon made me take it off. So then I just took myself, so there wouldn't be any problem.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, listen, Larry, it was an enjoy. I got to be up in the morning, and it's unfortunately most of us amateur radio interviewers, we have to work normal jobs, but you do too, so you used to have to. I am looking forward to my trip to the Philippines. And by the way, we'll have more to talk about because within the next few months, after I've completed my trip, I will have a lot to offer as well, and it'll just help me kind of solidify what I already know, which is the dating scene sucks here. Thank you very much, Larry, and I will give you the link to this. Before I put this up on the website, I'm going to give you the link to this to download so you can listen to it. If you don't like – if something's objectionable, I don't have to put this up, okay?
Okay.
All right. You have a great day. All right,
okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.